My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Well, they'd be part of the best fan base in the world if they joined the Chicago Bears fan base. So that's number one. And, you know, we're a team on the rise. You know, so I think it's a good time to be a Bear fan and join us.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Bears head coach Matt Eberflus. He was asked why the fans in England should be Bear fans. And he told them, we're bigger than the Beatles, and we saved your arse in World War II.
Not quite like that.
Oh, I thought
I can't imagine Flusie being that bold.
That's what he said.
And jingoistic, but perhaps.
Because your Royals are inbred. What?
I think there are a lot of Bears fans there that still probably remember Refrigerator Perry being over in London. What year was that? 80, whenever they went over there.
Let's get to our guy, Brian Baldinger. We're joined by Odyssey NFL Insider, Brian Baldinger. He's the host.
We don't have Baldy yet. We're still trying to connect with Baldy.
Well, we have him. Okay. I'm trying to introduce him. But, yeah, let me just finish saying that he's the host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise, Mayo. Game day, be delicious. Brian joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Hey, Brian.
Well, good morning, guys. How are you? Everything good?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Great. I mean, the Bears are in London, and we are in Chicago, and the world is a smaller place. We're all closer together as a result.
Well, you realize, guys, right, that the first game ever played in London was with the Chicago Bears and the Dallas Cowboys, right? 1986. So the year after they won the Super Bowl. So I was a part of that Cowboy team. So we played in a rainstorm at Wembley Stadium that year. And it was quite the buzz. Nobody knew what football was about in London. And we sort of introduced it, you know, almost 30, 40 years ago, I guess. So that was just a little historical note I thought I'd throw at you guys.
Well, the Cowboys being an America's team, the Bears coming off what they were coming off in the 86 season. Who was the more popular team in that venue?
Oh, it was Chicago by far. I mean, the Fridge was a rock star. Jim McMahon, like they, you know, you seeing, you know, Fridge taking a picture with the guards at Scotland Yard in front of Buckingham Palace. I mean, those pictures back in that day went viral on every single, you know, press junket. That picture of Fridge with the gap tooth and the two Scotland Yard, like nobody was more popular than the Bears.
There is a famous story connected to that game where one of the Bears' PR guys was asked by a British reporter, is there anything special going on? Is there anything special about the game? And he said, yes, that the Fridge and Ed Too Tall Jones have a bet going that whoever wins the game has to kiss the other guy's feet at midfield when the game is over. And so this British reporter, they had this on one of the back page of the paper. It was Fridge too tall, kiss my feet.
I did not know that story, if that's true or not.
Yeah, they've got the paper with the headline on it. It's one of the all-timers. Brian, so what do you think of this particular matchup? You know, we were talking about this idea that the Jags go there all the time, right? They're actually going for 2 weeks. They're going for two games, I should say. But they're having a problem getting out, and we know that they've been delayed a little bit. And obviously, you know, it's got to be worrisome when your belongings are back at home and this storm is hitting and your family's there. It's just it's probably a little bit worrisome, whatever benefit you get from going maybe is erased by the circumstances in which you leave.
Well, I think they won both games there last year, and then they came back and won at home They didn't take the bye week after they came back. So they've had some success over there, and they're used to doing it. I mean, Trevor Lawrence now is going over there for his fourth year in a row. So they have some familiarity that the Bears don't have. But distractions are distractions. I mean, all that stuff. These guys all live in 7-day life cycles. The trip isn't that bad for an East Coast team as it is. You know, Chicago's got 2 more hours in the air that Jacksonville doesn't have. It's just the beds are too small. Big guys don't fit in elevators there. Like, there's just inconveniences, period. You know, the food probably isn't very good. Like, all this stuff is a fact. But, you know, Chicago has a chance here to, you know, start kind of getting back into this race, and they're playing good football. I don't think that Eberflus can allow that these distractions to affect them. I think they need to go over there and win this game against a team that, you know, finally won a game, and the quarterback and the receiver, Brian Thomas Jr., it was a really strong connection last week, and he's a really good football player. He doesn't play like a rookie. He's about as fast as any receiver I've seen in this league. So they've got some challenges, no question about it.
This segment with Brian Baldinger brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit TimberTech.com. Brian, in your mind, watching the Bears on tape, what's the biggest reason for their offensive turnaround?
I think, the run game the last 2 weeks has been really good, and they continue to run the ball well. So I think that's that. And then the quarterback is improving. We said last week on this very same show that he really stood in the pocket, and he made some good throws, 2 weeks ago when they beat the Rams. And that was encouraging. And then he improved upon that this past week and obviously had his best game. I thought what was interesting, I know some people that were over in London with Caleb, were over there, and they had interviewed Caleb getting ready for this game. And they said the first thing Caleb did after the game last week, his best game by far, was he immediately, after he studied the game himself on his own, he called the quarterback coach, and he was nitpicking things that he did wrong that he wants to improve upon. And I thought that was pretty poignant that, you think you come off of your best game and people are kind of celebrating you and you got a 2-game win streak and all that stuff. And he's there coaching himself going, I got to get better on my footwork. I got to get better on this ball fake. He's looking at things that he needs to do to improve upon for this week against Jacksonville. And he's doing it on his own. And I think that's pretty telling.
You know, it's interesting because we're seeing a larger footprint with the NFL. And you were down in Brazil earlier in the year. I think there's a game in Germany future. Where does this end, Brian? Where does this take us, or what is the end goal to all these international games?
Well, it's to grow the game internationally, and to grow the fan base, and to kind of light up the international program where guys like Jordan Mailata have come from, and really expose the game to a wider swath of people in countries, and maybe start a groundswell of players that might get to the NFL like Mailata did. That's that, and then to grow the international audience. I mean, you got 2 games on Christmas this year that are on Netflix. I mean, Netflix is paying $150 million for 2 football games on Christmas this year. And, that Netflix obviously has a global reach in streaming to introduce the game on the international level and to grow the audience. And so that these streaming companies, whether it's Peacock or Netflix or whatever, pay a great amount of money to broadcast the games and have the broadcast rights, which just increases the amount of income that this league makes, which is probably north of $20 billion this year. So it's ultimately to make these owners much richer than they already are.
Do you see a team there someday? Is that it? Will we have to improve air travel before that could happen?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you could have Jacksonville is the obvious team right now because they go every year, and the owner, Shad Khan, it's got a big business over in London, in internationally, what he does. You could play 2 games at a time, like Jacksonville is this week. Come back, and have a place that you practice at in Jacksonville or someplace else. where all the families could get together and you could do all the kinds. It's possible. I think it still needs to be. It's not just travel. It's just being across the pond and doing all these things that you got to do in order to get the operations up to par, where it's not a disadvantage to be over there multiple times a year. So I think that's still a long ways away. But there's five international games this year. They're in Brazil, they're in Germany, they're in London, three games. I can see the international program and playing games overseas because the games sell out in minutes. You always get a sellout. There's a big, big crowd. There's a big buildup to the game. There's a big power party before the game. The fans really love it. And so they sell a lot of merchandise. They sell a lot of tickets. I can see even more games being played overseas. I think that's probably the ultimate goal, to go from 5 to 6 or to 7 as the league continues to expand and probably into an 18-game schedule, which I think is probably going to happen. You can see even more international games.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellmann's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Brian, Jaquan Brisker did not make the trip. He will miss Sunday's game due to concussion protocol. It's the third season in a row which he has missed time due to a concussion. If you're a safety, can you change the way you play to protect yourself, or is this going to be something that is going to be uncertain and he's going to just have to deal with if he does come back from this?
Well, it's a dangerous situation. I know too many players that 10 years, 20, in my case, 40 years later, like, are really suffering. It's a real concern. CTE is real. We have been instructing a lot of players to take the head out of the game and lead with the shoulders and hit different parts of the body. You can make some adjustments. There's full-speed collisions that Jaquan is part of, that every position is. I mean, safeties, though, seem to run and hit from greater distances. They're bigger and hitting bigger people, whether it's, running backs in the alley or tight ends over the middle of the field. Like, there's collisions are unavoidable. Can he change the way that he hits? That's what Jaquan has to look at to still be an effective player. And not, some players are just more susceptible to concussions than others. Jaquan, if that's the third one, I know Lane Johnson really good. He just had his fourth. He missed 2 weeks. You hope that they can kind of alter some things. I think it's a little bit easier for an offensive tackle than it is for a safety, knowing the distances they run to make these tackles. So I hope he can get back on the field. I hope he can play without future concussions, but he's probably going to have to alter the style that he tackles with right now to do it.
Are you familiar with the helmet technology, the idea of having like the padded helmet or the inside thing? Is that an option for players?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be an option anyway?
Yeah, it is. It is an option. I saw a player from Jacksonville. I think Josh Allen Hines actually wears one of those helmets right now. And I think you'll see more and more players just protect themselves, especially if they have suffered from concussions. I think you'll see it. And any player can put that extra padding on their helmet right now. Every player has that available to them. It's open. And so it won't surprise me to see Jaquan play with one. I don't think it feels any different to the player. Doesn't feel like it's any heavier or any different than you put the helmet on. If it gives you extra protection, then I think players should do it.
What's interesting is that this was a hit as physical as he plays, that Tommy Tremble, the tight end, for the Panthers, inflicted. This was something that basically Jaquan Brisker absorbed as much as he delivered.
Yes.
And that's just a fact of life of playing safety in the NFL.
It is. It is. And I might go back and rewatch the hit just to see what it was like, because some of these things are just unavoidable. If the tight end that you described, did that, I mean, he's just the target at this point. And you can't ask the tight end to change the way that he's playing after the catch, all those kind of things. So it's a contact sport. This is a part of it. We're trying to do everything we can to make it safer. I feel bad because Jaquan's having a great season. He's a great player, and he's a part of a really good secondary. You see Byer getting his first interception. That guy probably has over 30 of them in his career right now. Mm-hmm. He's a heck of a ball hawk. He's a great person, great player. Somebody else, you know, Johnson Owens, somebody else has to step up this week for him.
Brian, you've traveled extensively. We know that. I'm curious, if someone asked you what would be your best piece of advice if you're playing a football game overseas, what would you say?
Well, the fields, like, they have a – that's the turf field they're playing on this week. But everybody was slipping on both the Jets and the Minnesota Vikings last week. But it's not a – it's not it, – typically you play on a grass soccer field, and it's really slippery. But they put that turf field in on that technology where they put it on a bed and they wheel it into the stadium. And then the grass field's outside. So, but I don't understand last week. Like, everybody was slipping on that field. I was in Brazil, and everybody was slipping on a bad grass field. And that's, you know, NFL players shouldn't be slipping on a field like that. It shouldn't be. And I don't know why they did. They put that field in for these games in a brand-new stadium. I don't know why. But I would get my footing right, you know, during the week to get ready so that it doesn't happen on the field on Sunday.
That's good stuff. Thank you so much, Brian. We appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Enjoy it this weekend. We'll talk next week.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. He's the host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
George McCaskey met with the Bears assembled media in England before practice, and he had some interesting things to say. We should talk about that when we come back.
All right, we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was George McCaskey.
Yes.
He was talking in London today as well. Very interesting that you get a chance to hear from the owner, especially coming as it does a day after we heard once again from Kevin Warren, and we heard sort of a repetition of his favorite subject, which is the lakefront stadium,
yes,
the dome on the lakefront.
On the south lot.
That he still imagines is on the way.
And today, before George McCaskey went to practice, he talked to the Bears assembled media in England, and he doubled down on what Kevin Warren had to say.
George, Ted had a vision for a stadium in Arlington Heights. Kevin has one in Chicago. For you personally, especially having known Ted for so long, is that conflicting at all for you?
Not at all. We want to go where the best deal is possible, where it's the most feasible financially, politically, geographically. And the lakefront is an excellent site, and we think that a roofed stadium just south of Soldier Field can be great for Chicago, for the region, and for the great state of Illinois. Yeah, so there's a veto session in November, there's a lame duck session in January, and then the spring session right after that. So at some time in one of those sessions, we're going to have some sort of enabling legislation to allow the project to move forward.
Do you share his confidence level that you'll get a shovel in the ground next year?
Yes, we're confident in Kevin.
You at one point were happy with the idea of Arlington Heights, and even leaving Chicago, you said, you know, change isn't always a bad thing. Do you still feel that way? If that becomes the option, you guys own the property out there, will you be happy still if the stadium ends up being in Arlington Heights?
Well, right now our focus is on the lakeshore, and we'll be happy if a stadium is built just south of Soldier Field.
Wow. So, Mully, yeah, we are confident in Kevin.
Yeah.
George McCaskey references the legislative sessions that he thinks the Bears can make some headway.
Yeah.
We have heard the Governor Pritzker, say that this is a non-starter. We have heard from Chris Welch, the House Speaker, say that this is a non-starter.
Yeah.
And really, it's irrelevant what the politics are in the city of Chicago, but this seems like it would be a non-starter here, given all the other issues on Mayor Brandon Johnson's plate. I don't know what the Bears know. I don't know what they are expecting to happen that is different than what exists now. It seems like they're getting information that is contrary to all the other information the rest of us are receiving or inferring. Help me out here.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, David. The Bears have they've already said that they would put $2 billion up for a private, publicly owned stadium. And that is roughly $2.7 billion short. So if the Bears decided to pony up more money, how much would it take for them? I mean, at what point would there be a tipping point where the governor comes back to the table, says, hey, that's a good deal, where the legislature says, yeah, we definitely want to give money to this project? I just don't.
So you think this is a negotiation?
I don't know.
It could be.
I don't understand.
It could be.
I don't understand what the Bears know that we don't know.
Do the Bears have the financial wherewithal to pony up another $1 billion? Could they, even the private equity sale, let's say that George McCaskey also addressed that the Bears have not been involved with. He predicted by the end of the year there would be a team that sells 10% of its franchise to a minority investor. Let's say 10% of $6 billion if the Bears are worth $6 billion or $7 billion. That still ups the stake that they would have personally in the project. Let's say it's hypothetically $3 billion. Is $1.7 billion still something that the governor or the legislators of the state of Illinois would deem amenable to a deal? I don't know.
As a taxpayer, it might be more palatable, but that building on the lakefront hasn't been paid for yet. There are all sorts of problems.
$680 million still in debt to pay off on Soldier Field.
I don't know.
The Friends of the Parks have yet to be heard from, except for they are threatening litigation if this goes through. A lot of ifs. I don't know what the Bears are feeling so confident about. Notice that George McCaskey said this. This was an interesting choice of words, I thought. He didn't say we're confident in that happening.
Oh,
he
no.
said we're confident in Kevin.
That's what he said.
They are trusting the judgment and the wisdom and the experience of Kevin Warren, who changes the entire complexion of this project when he took over.
Okay.
Mark Potash asked a question. It was a good one. Ted Phillips' vision was to build at Arlington Heights.
Yes.
Ted Phillips left. Kevin Warren replaced him. We're confident in Kevin. This is Kevin Warren's deal.
Yes, it is. Let me ask something. Is there, let's say, just for the sake of this discussion, that they could sell a certain amount of, 10% to some kind of a fund that would come in and invest in the Bears. Could they come in then as partners in the building? Could they come in and want to pay whatever money? We're not only are we getting a piece of the team, but we're going to get half the building from you.
Conceivable, complicated, but conceivable. And if that were to be the case, I would have to think that we would not be led down the other path so intentionally. Wouldn't that have to require some political capital being invested there too? Wouldn't there have to be some concessions on behalf of the people in charge in those power positions that would think that? I don't know, Mully. I think that everything remains a possibility, especially how hell-bent the Bears seem on building on the lakefront, on the south lot, as publicly as they have been professing their intention. I just don't know what's persuading them to be this insistent, because it seems like it's a non-starter.
I mean, they must have, or Kevin Warren must have, some piece of information that we don't know about. I can't imagine what it is. I mean, honestly,
this would be, if this happens, a bigger political victory than 46-10 was in the Super Bowl. Because this is crazy.
Define that for me.
Okay.
What is the political victory? You're getting the governor to sign off on giving you $2 billion or whatever? Can you do that if the legislature is not behind it?
I'm saying that if you got the governor and the legislature, if you got this approved where you would receive $2 billion in government subsidy, in this day and age, in this political climate, right. in this economic climate,
yeah.
it would be a political victory for the Chicago Bears and Kevin Warren,
yeah.
right?
Well,
a resounding one.
I'm
historic one
by what's going to change. Why would and I mean, we talked about, like, why would the governor just completely change what he has said repeatedly about this process?
I'm not sure. I don't know. And that's why I am aghast at how positive they are about the direction of this project. It doesn't seem like there's much to be positive about. It seemed like at one point maybe this was a leverage play to increase their ability to strike a deal in Arlington Heights about the tax burden.
Yeah.
But the longer this goes on, the more insistent they have become, the louder it seems. George McCaskey identified three different sessions that the legislative that they'll meet down in Springfield, and I just don't know that it means that they're any closer just because he's saying that they're closer, unless they know something we don't.
Unless they have some plan where you'd roll the $680 million that you're on the line for already, and then if you're kicking in a billion, we erase the 6-8. I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking about the logic of buying a house and how you'd go about doing it and finance it. And what would the government, the people of Illinois, how would you get them on board? How would the governor suddenly say, you know what, this is a good deal for us?
Well, it would be a lot of
backtracking. That's what he has said.
There'd be a lot of political
when he has talked about this. He has said that they're not doing anything that's not a good deal for the state of Illinois,
and they called it a non-starter.
Yes.
And so there would be a lot of backpedaling, a lot of finagling, and yeah, theoretically you could concoct a plan that you could find a way to kick the can down the road and pay for this all in the future. Kevin Warren yesterday talked about a 50-year plan, right? 50 years. You want to do something that's going to be for 50 years. You want to do something that's big and bold and has that kind of vision. But I don't know if you're going to take 50 years to pay for it. Maybe that would be the creative way they're finding. I'm at a loss. We need somebody like Mark Gannis to help us understand this maybe a little bit better. Somebody who is in the field of sports economics, because as somebody who works in the city of Chicago, familiar with the Chicago sports landscape, it's inconceivable right now to see how this changes, given how strong the opposition has been from political leaders in a position to be that strong.
Peoria Matt checks in. He says, as usual, George playing chess.
Well, you know, is that part of it too? In all seriousness,
yeah.
Are we doubting the Bears because we
yes.
have reason historically to doubt the Bears and yes. to question whether or not they know something we don't? Because you don't really trust their ingenuity. You don't really trust that they are going to be playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers,
yes.
because they don't so seldom have been that team or that organization.
And we know that if the Bears were to build the thing on the lakefront, it would be much more profitable than if you built it out in Arlington Heights. I don't think would question that.
That's not even the part of the conversation
yet. That's not even
right?
That comes down to how do you get it built? That is the great mystery as to how you would get this done.
We're not casting judgment.
No.
Or evaluating what we think of the proposed stadium. The renderings are beautiful.
Yeah.
You could get swept away with fantasy if you want. The reality of it, the practicality of it, is what we're having a hard time accepting.
Well, I mean, listen, you can rattle off the schedule when you have to go and make your request.
We know that.
We understand that. But how do you get that request approved?
Yeah.
How do you get people to sign off on the extraordinary amount of money that you are asking for?
That's a harder thing to compute.
And even if you figure out a way to ask for less money, that's still a lot of money that you are requiring.
Yeah, let's not minimize the burden of a $1.5 billion, let's say,
exactly.
government subsidy.
Yeah.
There's nothing small about that number. There's nothing small about this project. It will be, we say, $4.7 billion. That's the proposal. It's more likely to be around $6 billion, as people who studied this after the announcement and the presentation at Soldier Field this summer has suggested and estimated. So you're talking about maybe between $5 and $6 billion for a lakefront stadium, and the Bears aren't going to pay for all of it themselves. And at some point in time, maybe the government does have a, I don't want to say responsibility, but might see a deal worth making. But I just don't know if $1.5 billion, if it's that, is even something that you want to take on or can take on now.
It just seems
very far-fetched.
It seems like, given all the economic problems that we have both in the city and in the state, it seems just it's confounding. Could this be what
Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, is going to London to talk about? Oh, or he is going. I think I saw that press conference earlier this week.
Did he go with the barber?
I'm not sure. Let's one more thing about George McCaskey before I take a quick phone call.
Yeah.
He also confirmed that the Bears were actually flirting with the idea of signing Tom Brady.
Well, that seems like ancient history at this point, but I do remember we were interested in pursuing him, and didn't work out for us. Worked out great for him with Tampa.
Were you part of any pitch or proposal thing?
Not directly, no.
When it was going on, this guy obviously was a living legend even then. Was there an excitement level? What was the energy level surrounding it?
Well, anytime you're in a situation like that, you're not putting all of your eggs in one basket. So you're looking at alternatives. It's the same in free agency. It's the same in the draft. You know, if the person you're targeting isn't available, you want to make sure that you've done your due diligence on all other options. So that was one option that we were looking at.
Did he ever visit?
Not that I know of.
So is it wrong that I feel like the chances of them building a dome by the lakefront are about as good as getting Tom Brady here a number of years ago?
I'm so glad you connected those dots, because I was thinking the same thing. One pipe dream followed by another. George McCaskey covered them both today before practice on the English countryside.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Both seem very far-fetched.
Yeah. And the one never happened, and he never came here. Bob's on the road. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Good morning. Good morning to you. You know, I'm all riled up this morning. Talk is cheap. I mean, McCaskey can say anything he wants about, you know, his desire, but here's my point, guys. I do not want the stadium in Chicago. I don't trust Pritzker. I don't trust Kevin. You mentioned that it's probably more profitable to be in Chicago. That's fine, but I'll tell you right now, It's a hellhole down there, and I want it out in Arlington Heights. And here's one thing is, how come we don't hear the mayor of Arlington Heights ever? We're hearing everybody else, but we don't hear any feedback from the mayor of Arlington Heights.
We've had him on the show. He's a listener to the program. He's kind of waiting for the Bears to come back, maybe. Yeah. And they've always been open about this, Bob. Thanks for the phone call. That they are they're receptive to the Bears coming back to the bargaining table and to whatever the situation is. Arlington Heights, the door is still open for negotiations. I think that's pretty clear. Don't you think, Molly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, we need more information on all this other than we believe in Kevin.
We need more than we're confident in Kevin.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we got.
And because Tom Hayes, the mayor of Arlington Heights, has been very open and on this program. He's like I said. So I think that goes without saying. The bigger question is, what do the Bears know that we don't?
I mean, maybe they know a good hope and a prayer. I'm just saying. I don't know that they know anything. I think maybe they believe, we haven't been formally turned down yet. We got another year.
Is this the power of persuasion with Kevin Warren? Is this what we're talking about?
I don't know what we're talking about. It's really
right now, this becomes a credibility issue.
Well, it's a big credibility issue for Kevin. And I'll tell you what, it's a credibility issue for him in George's eyes.
Without a doubt, because if this doesn't work out,
and he turns out like he's just had a pipe dream, then his boss is well aware of it, right?
Yeah, because George McCaskey, again, did not say we're confident in the process, we're confident in the government cooperation, we're confident in anything, but we're confident in Kevin. There's trusting his word, his direction, and his wisdom. So they're trusting his experience. Let's see where it gets him.
Yeah, fascinating.
It is.
All right, we got Marshall and Dan next. Mully and Haw on the score.
We're confident in Kevin.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.